Oh Lord, open thou my lips, open thou our hearts, open thou our lives, that we may show forth thy praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings from Fairhope, Alabama, the loveliest little village on the eastern shore, and from St. Peter's Bon Secours, where I hope your shrimp that you buy comes from. We're a small shrimping and fishing village, and when Russ and Tom asked me about hymns for today, I picked a Navy hymn, not because it fit the propers, but I wanted to say something about the nature of the folks from Bon Secours who work hard for a living and are out on those boats pulling in that shrimp. That is hard work, and I'm grateful to be a member of that parish. You know, there have been a lot of changes in the church during my priesthood and during our lives, and I think that perhaps one of the changes that we have forgotten about and perhaps even went unnoticed for many years, for most of the history of the Episcopal prayer book in the United States, it allowed the use of three translations in the lectionary. As you know, each week there's an assigned text that goes with the Sunday, and the Episcopal Church permits the usage of certain translations for the reading in church. You just can't go in and read any translation. And for, 160, 170 years of the life of the church, the assigned and appropriate text to be used, there was one version. There were three versions, actually, but they were the second and third were retranslations of the first. So for 170 years, we used basically one translation of the Bible that was read on Sunday morning. And in 1952, we had the issuance of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible. So in 170 years, we used three translations, being liberal about it. And since 1952, and then during 60, 70 years, we've added 10. And so I'm never quite sure which translation is going to be used for a particular text when I go someplace. And I say that because not that I want to discount it at all, but it seems to me that the translation that Deacon Jim read this morning is not the translation I want to talk about. The translation that I'm interested in is the one that is listed actually in your worship book alone, 25. It's the old version. Naturally, it'd be the old version. Because the world has made a choice. And the choice is given between accuracy and beauty. We tend to choose accuracy, and we miss the beauty. The old text is, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, to go in peace as thou hast promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared for the world to see, a light to enlighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. It's written on the kneeling pew in the sixth row down here on the gospel side. Compare that to, Master, now it's time to get up and go, for I've seen the show. Simeon is an old, old man. He's a dreamer of dreams. He's a seer of visions. He's a prophet of destiny. He's an old, old man, and he has seen accuracy. And what he wants is to see a bit of beauty for one last time. He's also a collector of memories, because at his age, he knows there are more memories to be harvested than there are dreams to dream and visions to see. But he has particular memories. He remembers There's a moment when every parent in this room looks at their child, their son or their daughter, and you look at them and you say, this is the most beautiful they will ever be. And they will only move away from this beauty. He looks at the memory of a young baby that slept in the crook of his arms. And as the baby is there, he watches the eyelids flutter and wonders of what a baby dreams. Now the babies close their eyes and you can see the rapid eye movement. And my granddaddy used to call that chasing rabbits. What rabbits is that baby chasing? And he has the memory of that same baby at 18 or 19. You ever seen anybody with heroin tracks in their arms? It looks like burns. His face ravaged and gaunt and his body poured out with drugs and alcohol and abuse. All he wants is a little beauty. He remembers the woman who stood beside him so long ago. You know, there reaches a point in marriage where you realize one day that you've now been married longer than you were alive when you met her. And he remembers that woman would never be as beautiful again. But then he remembers looking at her as the death shroud was sewn across her by the neighbors, thinking, she's still the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. He wants a little beauty. There's somebody coming in accused me of quoting a Jimmy Buffett line a long time ago. So in honor of that comment, I'll quote another Jimmy Buffett line. As the song says, and he lives in the islands and fishes the pilings and drinks his green label each day, and some of it's tragic and some of it's magic. But it's been a good life all the way. All Simeon wants is a little beauty to come into his life. But you know, memories about a lot of things. And sometimes we can live in those memories, and he's old enough to know that it can become a trap. And that the wise person remembers how to get out of that trap, how to escape it, how to embrace the possibility that life holds at any stage or any age or at any dimension. And he waits in the temple and prays for the celebration of that moment. And that's not a moment all of us anticipate. My friend, Rusty Goldsmith, who was the vice rector here before I came, tells a story of a parish he once served in which there was a woman of the parish. She'd been a member of that parish all her life. Her family had been members of that parish going back to the Civil War. And of course, in Alabama, if you can't go back to the Civil War, it doesn't matter anyway, does it? And she was just constantly unhappy with Rusty. Everything he did was wrong. No matter what he tried to do was wrong. He could do nothing right ever. And finally, she was in the church office one day and he asked her to come in, sat down and said, you know, I know that you're unhappy with me. Please tell me what I can do to make you happy. What can I do to make, I'll do whatever I can do to make you happy. And she said, I want the church and the world to be the way it was when I was 10 years old. And Rusty says, well, you understand that can't be. And she said, you asked me what I wanted. And that's what I want. And a lot of folks want the world to be like it was when it was 10 years old. But I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I want to live through all that again. I'm reminded of a moment in a book. I'm sorry, I cannot recall the book. I cannot recall the author. But it was written by a colonel who was in the Army, in the American Army, during the Iraq War. And it's talking about his experiences in battle. And I remember the scene in which he assembles his young officer corps in front of him, and he's addressing them for the first time, and he says to them, "I know what you're thinking. You are young and virile and strong, and you think you are going to conquer the world, that you can do anything it is you wanted to. I'm this old man who happens to be your commander, and you have to do what I say. But let me tell you this. I have been where you are. I have been where you are. And it's only by the grace of God that you will ever get where I am." Simeon wants a little beauty. And don't we all? My wife and I are raising our now 3-year-old grandson. He's lived with us almost his entire life. And we, again, by the grace of God, we obtained custody of him about a year ago. And you know, I thought I was at the stage of my life where I could buy a Shark sports car instead of a minivan. Because now I have to have room for a child seat and Thomas the Train backpacks whenever I go for any place. I've given up cleaning up my car. You know, it's full of Ronald McDonald stuff. Anyway, when you leave my house, one of two ways. You can turn west towards Texas and drive down the hill a couple blocks, and you come to Mobile Bay, and it's just gorgeous. There times of the day when it's just like a watercolor and the sunlight is dancing off the waves and the sailboats and the shrimp boats are out in the channel. It's just gorgeous. Or you can turn east and go up, cut through town, and we'll get in the car and Joseph will say from the car seat, he'll say, "Make it pretty, Padre, make it pretty." And I'll know to cut down to the bay and make it pretty. We all want a little beauty. Memory also teaches us that time is not about inevitability. It's about redemption. It's not about inevitability. It's about redemption. There's not a person in this room, not a person in this room, would not like to live long enough to redeem some portion of the past, to redeem some memory, to redeem some beauty. There's a wonderful movie called Babette's Feast. Babette is in The French Maid, or in The French Cook. Babette's Feast, from a short story by Karen Blixen, who wrote, of course, the book from which the movie Out of Africa was taken. Novelist whom the year that Ernest Hemingway won the Pulitzer Prize for literature, for whom the bells toll, said it should have gone to Karen Blixen. There's a scene in the movie where an old Danish general returns to the site of a small village and has a feast, a dinner prepared for him by Babette, who is a French refugee, and there he meets the love of his life, whom he rode off and left in order to pursue what he says, vanity, vanity. A person who will cut a figure in the world. And he has become that. And at the table, seeing the love he left sitting across, he raises his glass and makes a toast. And the toast is this. He says, "Surely God's mercy is infinite. Because He returns to us those very things we thought we had lost. All Simeon wants is a glimpse of that lost beauty. I have a friend who was an American missionary, a Christian missionary, in Iran before the revolution. And Gordon is the only priest I know, the only person I know outside of, I actually have some Iranians in my, or Christian Iranians in my parish in Bonskour. Gordon's the only person I know, certainly the only Anglican priest I think there is, who speaks Farsi. He lived in Iran for 10 years and speaks Farsi. And he tells a story about the nature of the Iranian Christian community there. Gordon says that the tradition in the Iranian Christian community is that when a child is being born, when a son is being born, the tradition is that the room is absolutely silent. No one is supposed to utter a sound except, of course, the child being birthed who dances to his own music, and no one tells that child to be quiet or to speak or to make a sound. Children, babies being born, do what they do. But everyone else is quiet, and as the child comes forth from the mother's womb, the father goes up and picks it up and cradles it up against his shoulder and leans into the baby's ear and whispers, "Jesus Christ is Lord." So that the first words that the child hears on this side of the veil are, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And then, Gordon says, as the father is about to die, if God is good and graceful, as the father is about to die, the father is on his deathbed and the room is absolutely silent. And the son goes in the room as the father waits upon the passing of his spirit, leans down and whispers into the father's ear, "Jesus Christ is Lord." So that the last words the father hears, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Simeon is kneeling in the temple praying. He's listening for beauty. He's listening for the song. And as Joseph and Mary bring the young Jesus into the temple, God leans over and whispers into Simeon's ear, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Listen. Wait upon the love of God and walk in the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.